And welcome back to part three of this multiple part wrap up episode of the year that was 2021. I'm Tony Lightfoot and being joined here once again by Alicia Bagnoli.
Ciao a tutti.
And Vincent Stadelbauer.
Bonjour à tous.
Ah.
All right then. And don't ask me German. Oh. I'm trying to learn German, okay? Maybe I can conjure up something before the end of this series. But anyways, okay, so we've done several events, you know, probably more events than we've done in the entire season of by this time. You know, in previous seasons, we did like about four or five, maybe six events total. We're already at five. You know, and went.
We did 2019, we did six events. In 2020, we did six events, and this year we did 13, so we actually doubled up.
All right.
Which is a good number.
Yes. Not a particularly lucky number, but there you go.
Yeah, well, it can be. For some people, it can be.
All right, then. Now we come into the historical part of the whole webcasting deal. I mean, the next three events, Hilltop, U17, U21, and Malibu, we'll cover in this episode. So,
Hilltop. Makes me tired just you mentioning those names again.
Yes, indeed. So, Hilltop, Northwest United States, Arlington in Washington State. You weren't a part of that deal. Well, although you got all the equipment and everything partitioned so it can go on the plane and everything. So everything was good there. And you kind of had to separate from the crew because you had the trailer and you were going to go all the way to the Florida Panhandle to get prepared
from
the
Chicago,
U17,
yeah.
From Chicago for the U17 and U21. Me, on the other hand, flies to the Northwest, and I'll join up with John. John's flying with me. Trey, one of our newer members, is flying as well, and Alicia Bagnoli, emerging from the Italian countryside. Heads on over, well, via Florida anyway, I'm sure, and we don't want to mention that too much. But eventually you made it to Seattle, picked you up from the airport and everything, you know. And it turned out to be a nice trip that I seriously, desperately needed, you know, with getting the equipment there and having a couple of days off before we actually did the event. Because, you know, for my part, and maybe self-aggratiating, but One of my true loves is actually aviation. I mean, and I got to see the Boeing factory and everything. And John got to went up to Mount Baker, you know, and breathing all that crisp, fresh air. And then after all of that, I pick up Alice from the airport, and then we all get to work.
Yeah, exactly. So I was still in Italy while the U.S. National happened. And I flew back to Florida just a couple of days before going to the Hilltop tournament, and Vince arranged everything, and basically the deal was that we had to split the webcast, and me with Tony and other people had to go to Seattle and do basically run the webcast there, while Vince and other crew members were going to Santa Rosa Beach to get ready for the under 17 and 21 worlds. So I was very nervous.
On top of the fact that you're skiing in the Hilltop.
Oh, yeah, but that was like literally the last of my thought. I was very nervous because, as many people know, I help out the crew, Vince and everyone. But I don't really know much about, you know, webcasts or cables or technology in general. So
that's Vince, where we come in.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
She knows more by now than she thinks she knows.
Yeah, I mean, I'm understanding a little bit, but basically Vince called me one day and he was like, okay, now we're gonna take an hour and I'm gonna explain you exactly what you're gonna do, and then of course Tony, John and the rest of the crew was gonna help me because
sounds like the instructions over a phone for disarming a bomb or something like that.
I know, but like at the end it was like visually it was also helping me a lot, so it was just, you know, like explaining what to do on the computer and in general just remind me how to really run a web, because I knew myself because I always see Vince doing it and knew Tony doing it. But, you know, it was, I'm not saying just me, but I was like me behind the computer and Vince was not going to be there. So I was definitely more nervous about it. But yeah, I got to Seattle and then you, Tony, picked me up And then we went straight to the hotel. And the next day we were, I think you guys started already to set up the site.
Yeah, we did. We'd already gotten a lot of the grunt work done and everything like that with the cameras.
Half or three quarter of the setup was done. And when I got there, I just helped out setting up the last few things and get ready for the next day, which was the tournament's day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the challenging thing, probably the one above all challenging thing about Hilltop was the internet connectivity. And we use a device that's only typically used in electronic news gathering at Hilltop. It's basically called a Live View Box, and it's quite expensive, to say the least, to actually purchase or actually to rent or to lease. If you've ever seen a local webcast, a local newscast in wherever community that you're viewing from in the United States, and you see so many commercials in like half an hour's worth of news content, the reason why they have that many commercials is to play for live view, because they use that for all their live shots now. And thankfully, we get some real good support at Hilltop to make that happen and give people a webcast that's viewable in high quality, high definition, you know?
Yeah, at the end, internet, it's always the most important thing during a webcast, and luckily played out well. You guys all know about this live view. It was a little bit of a, you know, hard thing to like set it up. At the same time, in a webcast, nothing works at the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a little bit of time, but then you guys switched some cables up and everything worked out really well.
Mm-hmm.
What I noticed this year is we're much, much better at dealing with problems during the setup. I remember last year, still as of last year, we would set up and then one thing would not work and we would all freak out. Now sometimes we do setup, 80% doesn't work and we're like, that's fine. We'll
mm-hmm.
fix it.
Well, now you learn that, like, sometimes, most of the time, it's just like, maybe switch out the cable, just plug it.
It's never plug and play. As you know, it's never plug and play.
No, it's never turnkey.
It's like a slalom ski. It's exactly like a skier with a slalom ski. It never works. It's just how much can you limit the damage, basically.
Mm-hmm. And so the event went off without a hitch. You know, we've had some great skiing. Jamie Ball came through with her top score. Nate Smith came through with one of
running
41s. You know, and like there is no other person that I can think of that cares more for his grass at Hilltop than Mr. Skoog himself. You know,
I learned also that Corey Pick is pretty picky with his grass as well. But Gordon, next level.
Yeah, next level. And the site's beautiful. The water is absolutely crystal clear. You can see all the way down to the bottom. And there's a reason why it's called Hilltop, because it's on top of a hill surrounded by trees. And if a wind does blow, it still stays very, very calm up there in Lecce.
Yeah, the side was beautiful. The water was beautiful. A little chilly for me, but I just put on the wetsuit and it was all good. And the grass, it's perfect for a reason. Like, you really like to take care of the grass. I remember that we were rolling some cases to bring it kind of to the shore. And we were like, we need to lift it because we can't really ruin the grass. So that was like part of the deal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, indeed. And the hotel we had was nice there. It was just recently built.
It was beautiful.
It was a beautiful, beautiful hotel. It was a good choice to go with La Quinta. You know, big shout out to those folks in Arlington. Well,
for once that we had a good hotel, I missed on it. I felt bad.
Darn it. You know, as we go into the next tournament, on the last day of Hilltop was actually coincides with the first day of the U17 World. So this is quite significant for us because we have two live webcasts going on the same day with two premier events.
The only thing I remember on my side, it was that Vince called me in the morning and was like, okay, I know today we're going to run two webcasts at the same time in two different places, but I'm going to make sure that I have my phone right next to me all the time. If you have any problem, just call me at the moment. And it was just so funny because running a webcast can be very overwhelming. But I also know that he has way more experience than I do. So in case I had a problem, of course I called him because Well, he had time for me to make sure that everything was running well. That was funny.
What a nice chap I am.
Yes, you're just technical support to the extreme.
But the other funny thing is that we would watch each other's webcast from a phone. Literally, it was like Vince had his phone open up to Santa Rosa Beach, and he was watching our webcast at Hilton. And so, like, sometimes he would comment like, "Hey, why you don't see that many like result pages?" I was like, "Just do your own webcast, you know."
Yes, and why didn't you cut to that skier at that time?
Exactly.
But there you go. Anyway, so I mean,
it was actually pretty nice to have two webcasts across the U.S. at the same time. It shows that we kind of came a long way. I remember the first day of Hilltop, we were still doing setup for the under 17 world. I was with Kelvin down there and with Ricky, but we had the site 99% set up to make sure that basically on Saturday we could just watch Hilltop and be available for whoever needed whatever at Hilltop. But I mean, yeah, they pulled it through. You pulled it through.
Yeah,
which I was sure. And the contrasts were quite something. On Sunday, I mean, we're absolutely burning in Sunshine State, and you guys were freezing.
Yeah,
in the fog in Seattle. Yeah. I was
but you know, I mean, it was a little bit cold, but then again, you know, it was a bit of a relief, you know, to do all that.
It was just two extremes. There was no really in the middle.
We had a lot of heat this year, and if you think about it, most of the events we went to, geez.
Yeah, it was
super hot.
So, Hilltop. Hilltop was completed, mission accomplished there. Then we flew down. Me, Alice, John, and I believe Trey.
Adam was there as well.
And Adam was there as well. So we all rendezvoused at the tail end of the qualification rounds of the U17 Worlds on the Monday, you know. But I mean, just because the timing of the flights meant that I couldn't get in like early Monday morning. We were kind of hoping for like a red eye flight, you know, on Sunday, but it didn't quite happen. But we got everything situated, all of the equipment, you know. I think Lice did her best impression of Vincent, you know, on the side of the plane, making sure that all the crates are in and all that kind of stuff, you know. So she did her very best there as well. And
I'm not sure I would have really stopped a plane for that, but I definitely checked the bags.
Well, good thing for you, my bags made it.
All right, then. So we arrived back at Santa Rosa Beach. Where did we go through from Seattle to somewhere else, didn't we? I think Houston.
Yeah, I believe Seattle and Houston, Fort Walton.
Fort Walton Beach, you know, and my car
United.
Was... on United. My car was waiting there for me, you know.
We're still waiting on a sponsorship, United, in case.
Yeah, or some other similar airline that can guarantee that our bag gets there.
We'll take Delta also, we'll take Lufthansa, whatever. As long as you load my bags, it's fine.
And they get them. All right, then. So, Santa Rosa Beach, U17 Worlds, U21 Worlds. Because the U17 Worlds were actually supposed to be the previous year, but because of COVID, they had to shift the event over to be this year. And they combined it with the U21 Worlds, which both of them being taking place at Corey Pecos's place, I know was actually a masterstroke, really, because I mean the event really, really went off, you know, very, very well indeed.
Yeah, that was one. We had a lot of great events this year, but that was a very, very nice one. It was the fact that the event was already 8 days. I mean, we really set ground at Pecos. We were there for about 15 days, I believe, total. We were welcome, very, very nice. The whole Pecos family took great care of us. The lakes were perfect. The tournaments ran smooth. Was a nice vibe. It was nice to be surrounded by international people again since COVID, and obviously a lot of young athletes being under 17 and under 21 was a very nice vibe.
Yes, indeed.
Very party-ish and all cheering for each other. Was nice.
Oh, absolutely. It was like akin to the collegiate nationals, you know, that I'll mention just a little bit later on, because it does involve more of you, Alice. But anyway, great event, good vibe, you know, some standout performances. I mean,
the
Kennedy Hansen, the Jaramillos
winning everything.
And They're actually not that bad on the mic either, because one or two of them actually assisted me in the co-announcer's role.
Every day I discover another IM Helios. I thought there were two, and then there are three, and then there are four. I'm still probably missing a couple.
Maybe. I know. I mean, it was a great event from start to finish. You know, there was some good skiing. Jamie Ball, last season of eligibility in the U21s, are coming through with the win there. Brooke Baldwin winning the overall in the U21 women's. Some of the ones that immediately spring to mind if I don't mention.
Set up overall record.
Yeah, set up. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, she set up an overall world record that is actually still pending, because I remember because we talked about it in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing,
but they
they're working on it. Which also almost forgot. Also a little bit of a weather hiccup there. They had to wrap the tournament earlier because of the hurricane that was coming.
Oh yeah, Hurricane Ida.
You stayed stuck at Corrie for another like one or two days.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, because the hurricane was bearing in on Baton Rouge, which is where
We were at the event at day 7 instead of day 8, which also required us running a last moment to Lake Webcast that again was a leap on its own.
And a big shout out has to go to Nikki Lee, because she was the one that made the decision that said, okay, we're going to accelerate the schedule. We're going to end a day early so that y'all can go home to your families, you know, and get out of there. Because if the hurricane tracked a few degrees to the east, it would have bore down upon Pensacola, Santa Rosa Beach and all those places.
Hats off to her, because actually, when we drove off on Sunday, which was going to be final day, I mean, it was unskiable.
Mm-hmm.
So she did a good call.
Yeah, it was pretty darn windy there, you know. So I did stay a few days afterwards to make sure that when I got home, I had power, you know, which you kind of need in South Louisiana to run air conditioning and refrigerators and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, now looking back at it, month of August was like some 28 days on the road, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty intense to say the least, and you know, but there were still many events to come, you know. And we had a little bit of a break after the U21s.
Yeah, three weeks, before the Malibu Open, which was our third time there.
Mm-hmm.
Great event put on by Malibu Boat. Jerry, Regina, and Leonard are kind of a part of the crew. Adam Caldwell is helping out.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. Again, a little cable cam hiccup there. But Overall was a nice event. Nate took the win. Mm-hmm. Adam Caldwell, season's best with four. Threw himself onto five.
Yeah, and he won the skier of the day honors, of course.
One skier of the day.
You know, and then you had the four women, of course, like the group of four who became
Whitney won.
Yeah, Whitney won.
Regina, Whitney, Jamie, and Mano.
Yeah, all of them getting into 41 off, which is remarkable, really.
Best performance. And then Whitney ended up winning, and then I believe Jamie.
I think it was one of the best games for women
and Mano,
in a whole tournament.
I think it was Whitney, Jamie, Regina, Mano, I think.
Yeah, in that order. So, and I mean, like, and I mean, I remember actually Regina like tearing up right next to me as we were like getting ready to bring.
You teared up as well. Really?
Yeah, of course I did. We all did. We all teared up. I mean, Manon especially, you know, because she was part of that whole deal. Yet she didn't do enough.
Yeah.
She did. She would have done enough with that score to win most tournaments.
Who would have thought with one at 41 you were going
to
get four?
I remember her telling me that she was like so overwhelmed because she was so happy to have run like 10.75 in a tournament, and that so many girls ran it as well, and she was like really happy, but at the same time, with half at 41 off 10.25, I got fourth, which is like a huge score, but like
that's scary. That's scary if you do half at 41 and you get fourth.
Okay, let's not neglect the jump event, because I mean that competition was one of the few times the season we got to see the pros jump in, and we saw Jack Critchley
and Emilia Ritter survived. So that's good.
Yes, absolutely. and you can see the sense of relief upon his face was actually very, very powerful.
He was nervous before jumping, which obviously everyone would have after.
Yeah, but you know, Emil, I mean, I don't know him too much, but I know that after that crash of last year, Malibu Open, I know he put a lot of work into it. I know he worked a lot with Jay Bennett Ed Bennett, and he just wanted to make sure there was going to be like a safe jumper in the future, still jumping far, still jumping his best. And we actually saw it at Malibu this year. He jumped great. He was super safe. And you see, he wanted to change a lot of his technique, and he did. He managed.
All right, then.
Who took the win here and jumped Jack?
Jack Critchley, yes. And the return of Jacinta Carroll. Oh,
yeah. And the return of Jacinta, exactly.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, and
after
I mean,
all this time in Australia, she was able to make her way over to the US.
And
that must have not been easy on her end either.
No, no, because I mean, for about 2 months prior to, for at least 2 months, she wasn't able to ski because by law, you weren't able to ski, you know, in Australia. You know?
So, and she skied Malibu, then she skied Worlds, then she skied the Mastercraft Pro, and then she went home, and she was still in quarantine until like 5 days ago. Imagine.
Yeah, I think it was 2 weeks in
the
hotel.
Did 2 weeks quarantine in a hotel room.
All right, then. So we dealt with the Malibu. We've got, what is it, 3 more events to go in the final part of this this podcast as a review of the season that is 2021. We'll return with Alice, Vincent, and myself very, very soon. This is the TWBC podcast, and we'll be back in the next episode.